But it's the only way you're ever gonna learn. You look back and it's all in the past.
Good afternoon and welcome to NUFC Matters with me, Steve Wraith. It is a special edition of the Worldwide Show and I'm joined by Chris, Holly, Al Waleed, Andre, Martin and Pete. Good afternoon, one and all. And what a result last night. Newcastle United 4, Leicester 2. And to be honest, I didn't see that coming. I predicted pre-match that we're going to get absolutely thumped 3-0. Didn't see that performance coming, especially after the Arsenal game. But well done to the lads and well done to Steve Bruce, Graham Jones and all the coaching staff for getting a win, which mathematically, fair enough, it doesn't secure a safety. But I would say in our heart of hearts, we all know now that Fulham aren't going to win 4 games and Newcastle aren't going to lose all 4, I would imagine. So, it could be sorted this weekend. Anything other than a win for Fulham and Newcastle's safety will be more or less secure. So that's great news. And well done to Holly last night on presenting her very first show. At such a young age, you were such a very good example to everybody. And I thought, brilliant. I mean, everyone who's done the show has done well. You know, Martin's gone off to set his own show, but Andre's a natural on TV now in his home country. Pete's presented, Al Waleed presented, Chris has presented. So everybody, you know, it's been a learning curve for you all. But I hope you've all enjoyed it and hope you've all learned something from it. But well done, Holly, last night. It's not easy and you did a great job.
Thank you.
Great stuff. Chris, let's start with the game last night. Why not start and continue as we mean to go on with positives, I think, because that was a great result last night. And it was probably, I would probably say, give or take 15 minutes of it, it was our best performance of the season, Chris.
Oh, yeah, definitely our performance of the season. And the pregame, Pete and I predicted a 2-2 draw, and a bunch of people said, well, maybe there's not going to be 4 goals in it. And we were off by two more goals there. So, it was a pretty dominant performance after the first couple of misses. To be up 4-0, you always like to have the clean sheet, but to concede 2 and not 3 or 4 is you'll take that. You'll take the win. You'll take the points. Like you said, want to be 12 points clear of Fulham, and if not mathematical safety, sort of practical safety. Not going to look towards next year because so much could happen between now and then. But a great result, and puts us in a great position to finish out the rest of the season in style. But go to the final whistle of the final game.
Yeah, I mean, a great performance from Dubravka as well, Chris. We talked about it on Match Day Live last night, which again was a great occasion for us, especially with a performance like that. But yeah, Dubravka was outstanding. And Callum Wilson as well. You know, I probably didn't give him as much praise as I should have done last night, but 2 great finishes from our top scorer.
Yeah, I mean, there was a couple of people you could have been man of the match. Dubravka, Wilson, And then Paul Dummett. I mean, well played, Paul Dummett. I mean, rising like Ronaldo above the line there. I mean, look at the elevation he got on that goal. It was pretty incredible. And then he played pretty well in defense. You know, the defensive breakdowns for the 2 other goals conceded were sort of a team to blame, but. Paul Dummett, Geordie Ladd, always great to see him contribute to the squad on both ends of the pitch. So he deserved a special accolade, even if he didn't get my man of the match last night.
Rising like a salmon, as they say on Tyneside, Chris. So good stuff. Holly, as I said, well done again last night. But what a great performance for you to cover.
Yeah, I think I definitely hosted the best Match Day Live of the season. I saw a few people saying that I was the good luck charm, so you never know. Hopefully that luck continues. But yeah, it was a great performance, definitely one of the best of the season. There was a lot of players that have been out of form that came right back into it that game. Matt Ritchie deserves massive credit. I gave man of the match to Martin Dubravka, but Ritchie really, really did make a massive impact on that game. You could see how much he was spurring the players on to do better constantly. He's just shown that great leadership qualities that we know he has. Martin Dubravka was the man of the match, like I just mentioned, for me anyway. I thought he was excellent. If we hadn't have had Martin Dubravka in goal that game, I don't think we would have won because Leicester had some great chances as well. I think we maybe would have got a draw because Martin Dubravka pulled out some key saves in that game and he really came back to the best of his form because I don't think he's been on the top of his game since he came back replacing Carl Darlow. I think he's been good, but that game, he just proved why he's always got to be the number one at Newcastle. Also, Callum Wilson, brilliant. He was desperate for goals. I think it would have hit him hard that he had that injury and was out of the side. Then he didn't come in and make an instant impact like he would have wanted to. And he got two goals in that game, which was just outstanding. And Paul Dummett as well. Yet again, proving why local players are so important in this relegation battle that we've had this season. Really pulled it out of the bag. And his goal was second to none. And his defending was good as well. And of course, Steve Bruce, he does deserve credit for that as well. Because they really, really have turned it around this season, and hats off to Steve Bruce.
Yeah, it's not something we thought we'd be seeing a few months back, but yes, hats off to Steve Bruce. Al Waleed, good afternoon, mate. I hope you're doing well. I mean, how does it feel watching a performance like that? I suppose, you know, it's everything you hope to see from a Newcastle United team last night.
Actually, I'm a bit jealous of Holly, because she hosted the best game, and last week he hosted maybe the baddest game of the season. amazing. Nobody expect that. I guess it's too many factors. This is the beauty of football. There is too many factors, but I think the main factors yesterday. I think it's about respect and underestimating, because we underestimate Arsenal. We get beat. I think Leicester underestimated us last night. I thought maybe some tactics, they are doing something. They were thinking that the Newcastle game is very easy. On the other hand, Newcastle did very great. There is some change. It wasn't coincidence. I noticed, as I said yesterday in the Matchday Live, I noticed Saint-Maximin not dribbling as usual, not try to be teamwork playing team style. Usually he's a great player, and we know that he usually take the ball and try to dribble the whole defense. It's not working every time, but yesterday I noticed he maybe one or two touch before pass the only to pass the ball to his teammate. Everybody was great. Habib Wilson, I see him score again. It's good for his confidence. Long time he didn't score, and I think he came back to his level. We are happy. Too many things we win yesterday. We win Wilson back. We win. I think Khalas, we are safe from the regulation. Now I would like to work. It's best time to work for even for next season, for next games. Focus, not just work like sloppy as last season. I remember last season we were safe earlier from regulation, and we started playing just to pass the time. Everybody was thinking of the summer vacation.
Do you think we're a little fortunate that Johnny Evans got injured in the warm-up? Because, you know, whenever that happens to a football team, you know, your plans are thrown into disarray.
It could worse, but it's not like Jimmy Vardy or Iheanacho. I think the player yesterday, I noticed the player, the Turkish player, I forget his name, Soyuncu. I think he was shaking yesterday, but not just him. I think in usual the team they were underestimating Newcastle, I believe.
Okay, good stuff, Al Waleed. Andre, over to you, mate. You did your Toon statue bit before the game, as usual. And, yeah, you know, pointing towards the home form wasn't very good. And it's something which I didn't take into consideration. But, you know, Leicester's been great on the road, but they've struggled a little bit at the King Power Stadium. Whether that's got something to do with having no fans in, maybe, you know. They have fantastic support there. It's loud. They make a big show of it. But yeah, I mean, what a result, Andre.
Yeah, let me start with the fact that I'm very happy to see you all. It's been a long time since I last participated. I've been quite busy lately, but very, very happy to catch up after such a great game. I'm still buzzing and have so many things on my mind. Let me start with your question. By the way, you know, I was doing the stats lately on this one. It might be the first time in the history of English football, of top-flight English football, that there will be more away wins than home wins this season. So far, it's one before the game yesterday, it was 125 home wins versus 133 away wins, which shows you the impact of no crowds in the stadium, and really the home factor it's not there anymore, or not as we used to know it. And you mentioned Leicester stats. Yes, before the game yesterday, they had 9 wins, 1 draw, and 7 losses. Yeah, they had the same amount of defeats at home as Newcastle, actually, and they lost an 8th game, which is not a form for a third in the table. Yeah. Another great stat yesterday, which I reminded myself, is that you know how many times a team has had a 4-0 lead in the Premier League? I mean, since 1992, 720 times. You know how many wins for the team who led four goals? 719. And wow. The one game that you know the team didn't win is, of course, involved Newcastle United. So when with Newcastle and 4-0 lead, you never know. So when it became 4-2 and Jose Perez missed that chance in the 91st minute, you know, my heart almost stopped. But fantastic game, and really my man of the match was Matt Ritchie, and I think that Bruce managed to turn his season around when he brought Ritchie back for the game against Tottenham. I think this bus stop that they had, and this whole month of March when Ritchie didn't play, putting Ritchie back on was a huge decision by Bruce, and really big credit to Steve Bruce. I think he took a lot of flack from all of us and from a lot of fans, but he deserves some credit now that he managed to turn it around. Matt Ritchie is such a huge player for United. I mean, not only on the pitch, but also as a leader, as a presence. I think he's the real leader of that team. He's the most vocal, for sure. I'm sure that if you watch the games without this fake sound on, you hear mostly Ritchie talking, Ritchie screaming after his teammates, after the opposition. He's really the guy who's, you know, lighting the fire in everyone. And I love the guy, and he had a great, great game yesterday. I mean, everybody did. Not a single player had a bad game yesterday. Wilson is a top, top player, and he showed it. Joe Willock, what an impact he's had. Like 5 goals in 11 games, and it's not really 11 games since he came on as a sub. And somebody was pointing today on Twitter that Joe Willock has 5 goals already, same amount of goals as Joe Linton has for almost 2 years. But huge credit to everyone yesterday, but Matt Ritchie for me has been instrumental, not only yesterday, but in the whole run that Newcastle have had.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, you know, we were crying out for Matt Ritchie to be in the team on you know, numerous episodes over the last few months. And, you know, some people disagree, but I would say the majority of people agreed with our calling for that and for Paul Dummett to be back in the team. And needless to say, you know, both players have had a big, big effect. And, of course, we discussed on here many times about the goalkeeper. I mean, Darlow had come in, done very well, you know, kept us in games and... hadn't really done a great deal to let us down, but I think the majority of the panel wanted to see Dubravka back in, and again he's been outstanding and proved why he's our number one. Martin, good to see you, mate. Yeah, what a result, mate. I hear you had some spillages in your house when the goals went in.
I did, yeah. Obviously, I tried to drop on last night. My internet went, and I came back, and the fella in the corner beside me, with the brick wall facade behind him, had jumped into me spot. So I just went,
to
right.
To be honest, I'm going to spoke with Pete here, because Pete was supposed to be on. I could probably blame myself, because Babu was a late arriver at the party and I didn't realise that he was jumping on. So to be honest, it was a case of, you know, all for one and one for all. You nearly got back in when Dunnell's and internet then caught up.
I know,
up,
I felt
then,
bad. I didn't want to take his spot because he was new on. So, yeah, I did. Yeah. I sat back. I had a nice couple of cans of Guinness. Obviously, we scored and I knocked it clean off the side of my locker trying to grab my phone. So I had to clean that up. Obviously, then second goal went in, started to get into the match, relaxed a little bit. And then when the third goal went in, the daughter actually called for something. And as I got up, I actually caught it with the side of the phone. So I did manage to spill about a pint and a half twice over onto the side of my locker, but also into the kitchen after I moved. So yeah, I did quite well, but it's a great game. I have to say I was chuffed for Holly. I was watching on the phone on and off, so full credit to her. It's not easy to do, but the game itself, I think I would agree with Andre. I think Matt Ritchie for me was man of the match. I think you could throw it at anybody, from Wilson to Darlow to Dummett to any of them. All played well. I think Holly and Elwley kind of summed it up, really. I think Leicester underestimated us. I think, to be fair, we all underestimated us. Wednesday night when we did load of football, we do the leaderboard, and all the lads went for draws or losses, and I actually said, I'll go against the grain. I fancy a Newcastle win. And there's a little bit, if you watch it, Richie actually laughs when I said it. So I did remind him of that last night. But yeah, I mean, the save from Perez, from Dubravka, for me, was outstanding. I don't think you'll see probably a better one-on-one save all season. I thought was the best I've seen. Wilson's goals, his first goal to round Schmeichel, keep the coolness and slot, was an absolutely clinical finish, but it shows that difference between calmness and experience, in opposed to perhaps if that had been Joe Linton with that chance. But Richie, for me, got the man of the match. I think Andre hits the nail on the head. You know, I listened to the match with the no fan sound, and you can hear him kind of bollocking and shouting. Even after the fourth goal went in, you could still kind of hear Richie shouting at Wilson as to why he didn't put it in the first attempt. So, you know, he doesn't give up, and I think we've lacked that leader. You know, most people on this panel have been critical of Lascelles throughout the season about him not being the captain and not my leader. And I think Richie's that person we've lacked. I would agree that, you know, Bruce has to get a bit of credit, and look, credit where it's due. You know, we've slagged him off throughout the season when we've been poor, but I'll give him credit. He brought Richie back. You know, probably the two of them have had to bite the tongue. Probably, are they going to be best pals and go drinking pints? Probably not. But you know what? It was about the team effort, and that for me last night was an all round team effort. And that's what we've done. So I think we pull away, you know, for Fulham to win all four, I can't see that happening. So you'd like to think at this point that we are safe. Hopefully that'll relax a bit. I'd like to see Willock back in again. Hopefully the pull up and the hamstring is just a bit of cramp, or more so. I haven't seen anything on the reports this morning from injuries. Obviously Wilson pulled up towards the end as well, but he looked okay in the interview, said he was okay. So, yeah, look, bit of pressure off, but it was a great overall performance. So, look, credit to the staff, the management, the coaches and the team. It was an excellent game.
No, it certainly was. And fantastic. Great. I think you're right. I can't see Fulham winning four games at all. Pete, over to you, mate. In Leicester, how is the atmosphere in Leicester this morning? Did you go out for a walk with your head held high and in your castle top on?
Of course, went to the gym this morning, Newcastle top on, loud and proud. It's surprisingly quiet on the Leicester front this morning. No one's on the chat, no one's on the WhatsApps, no one's talking. I don't know what could have happened last night to cause that. But it's a fantastic result. We've already talked about the fact that we weren't expecting it. It was a nice surprise. But what it shows is that, you know, when you set up the team in the right way, and that's the key, we set up tactically to play a certain way, and we haven't done that before. We've thrown guys onto the pitch and expected them to run around, but tactically we were very good. And it just goes to show, with all the negativity, with all the media and all the journalists that have said over this season that these group of players are championship players, that these group of players are not good enough to be in the Premier League, or they should be where they are in the league, which was 17th, 16th at the particular time. No, I'm not having that. that performance tonight shows me that that's a group of players that actually, when they are tactically aware and are tactically coached, that they can produce performances like that against Leicester. Don't get me wrong, Johnny Evans is a fantastic centre-back, an experienced centre-back, and he makes the likes of Wesley Fofana, who I rate very highly, play better because he uses that experience. However, you've got Maddison, you've got Vardy, you've got Iniesta, who's the most informed player at the moment. You've got, you know, talented players, Ndidi, Ricardo, you know, Castagne. You could go through their whole team. They've got very, very exciting players. And we made them for 80 minutes look like an average team. And for me, that's us. We can talk about Leicester having a bad day or an off day or underestimating us. We made them play that way. We made them, and we need to take a little bit of a credit as a group of players in the club and in a team that actually we made them play that way, and we kept them at bay for a long period of that game. And then it kind of like throws me some questions out there, because we've talked about Bruce, and Steve, you've been very vocal in the last few weeks about Bruce and giving him praise, and rightly so. And it wouldn't surprise me if he does win the Manager of the Month. I don't know if it's been announced yet or not. I have no idea. But It then throws other questions out to me. Is that, why has this not happened before? And I don't want to put a negative spin on it, but look, you go back to the Sean Longstaff and you go back to the Matt Ritchie situation. You know, why has it had to go to that point? Why has it had to go to the point where we've lost so many games, where our names and our clubs been dragged through the mud with fallouts and argues and journalists being banned? Why does it have to get to this point at our club for us to then pull out these type of results? It's clearly there. It's clearly there. It's just a case of stubbornness. It's a case of stubbornness, and it came from Steve Bruce, that he was being very stubborn with certain players, that he weren't playing them when they should have been in the team. He's been very stubborn with tactics. He's been very stubborn with coaches. He's been very stubborn with the media and journalists. So although we give him praise, we also need to question him about why this hasn't happened sooner. Why have we had to go through from December until March, watching absolute dross week in, week out, when he could have made those changes, when the fans were calling for it back then? That's my questions going through my head. I'm so happy. I'm relieved. I'm relieved that we're in this position now where we can say that we're safe, because we are safe, 100%. Fulham, in my opinion, Fulham won't win another game. So it's done. But I'm sick and tired of being in a position where we are wondering, are we going to get to 40 points? Are we going to do enough to stay in the league? I'm sick and tired of it. I'm sick and tired of managers not listening to fans. I'm sick and tired of the club not listening to the fans and listening to the people that know best, which is us, the fans, the group of fans that support this club. And I hope to God that from this point on, whatever happens now, that this arbitration and the club's future gets resolved in the summer. Because I cannot go for another season of this absolute crap again. And I'm sure that all of us on the panel and everyone watching and all the fans feel exactly the same. I've just had enough of it.
Yeah, I think you've coined it, and that's what everybody feels like, mate. So, yeah, great stuff from everybody about last night's game. I have got a couple of things I need to say. You'll have heard on the Three Amigos, or maybe you didn't watch it last night, but we had record figures anyway, that this beauty is up for grabs, courtesy of John from Q-Tech. It's a one-off watch, a very special watch and a very expensive watch. How do you enter the chance to win it? Very simple. You go and help the food bank by donating whatever you can to the food bank cause. And how do you do that? Well, you go to nufcfansfoodbank.co.uk and you put some money in the match day bucket. You can put a pound in, you can put £2 in, you can put £3 in, five, 10. People are sending us pictures of them, of their receipts, which is great, but don't send me them. John from Q-Tech will be watching. Everyone from last night who put something into the food bank match day bucket will go into a draw, and that draw will be done by Q-Tech. I think he said at the end of the season. So keep putting into the match day bucket. I think it raised another couple of hundred quid last night, which was great. Keep putting into that and you will automatically be entered into the draw. So please give generously to the food bank. It was announced last night as well that we We hit £5,300 NUFC Matters in 12 months last night for raising for the food bank. Amazing gesture from everybody who's helped with the T-shirts, etc. And much, much appreciated. And we have got a new T-shirt. I've just stuck it on the Twitter. It's a Rant Man. NUFC Matters, light blue T-shirt, never been done. Steve Hasty on the front there. And somebody who deserves a hell of a lot of credit. He's been involved with the food bank from the start. He was one of the original men on the food bank. So that's on my Twitter, at Steve Wraith. You know the drill by now. Just bid underneath whatever you want. And by the end of the week, the Three Amigos show, I will announce the winner. Most T-shirts have gone for anything between 65 and 150, but we had one T-shirt go for £350 the other week, which was the Keith Patterson T-shirt, which is amazing. So thanks for your generosity. Keep it going, folks. You know, we'll support the food bank as long as we go. And John from Q-Tech has loaded these onto the website as well. I've got no idea. They look like bags, but he gave some kind of flash name. Holly, you might know. Has this got some kind of special name?
I think it's called a tote bag.
There we go. So I knew you would know. So it's a tote bag, and that is what John has put on the website. So NUFCMatters.com, get yourself onto there. And, of course, the infamous, by now it's infamous, I think because me and Keith looked like Right Said Fred wearing the last night, cult T-shirt is still on sale. I'm now getting inundated with people sending us photographs of them wearing the cult T-shirt, which is great. So thanks very much for that. Sponsors, big shout out to Spider VPN for your all your internet security. If you want to keep all your personal details hidden and avoid cybercrime, then Spider VPN is the people to go to. You can easily find them. They're top of the Google link search. So get yourself onto Spider VPN's website. Skipsandbins.com available at telephone number 0800 2545 253. Email inquiries at skipsandbins.com and website www.skipsandbins.com. Easy, contract free, and pay as you go waste collection. And I always like to put him on because I think he's a rather dashing young bee there with a football. But great little logo. Good to have them on board this month as sponsors. Thanks to qtechshop.co.uk for everything they do. They're not just makers of pool tables and snooker tables. They do a hell of a lot for us and a hell of a lot for the food bank as well. And a big shout out to John at Jab Signature for making all of our flyers. Subscribe to the channel. Hit the Newcastle Legends logo in the bottom corner. Hit the subscription button. And that's it. Simple as that. We hit 40,000 yesterday and we're well on my way to 40,100. Hit the like button. Hit the share button. That shares it to your social media. But if you hit the like button, the little thumb, that does us a big turn and helps us a lot with the video. And join the comments section and get your comments read out or ask us a question. We've got another half an hour to go. Okay, Chris. Over to you, really, about the stuff which we've heard with regards to things behind the scenes. I mean, have you had time to digest everything that came out? You know, the HMRC case has collapsed, and you know, then there was the news that Mike Ashley had said that he was launching another case, against the club, this time a personal case, and that using Keith's all of the work that Keith Patterson at NCSL's done. Have you had time to digest it? And what was your thoughts on all of that?
Sure. Well, first, it's total vindication for Keith Patterson for doing this effort, on his back and with the backing of Gordon Steen. All of the hate and criticism he got for doing this and people questioning whether this would have any, detrimental effect on the club or the arbitration case. And you can see that he's obviously revealed that he's been working hand in hand with the club this whole time, and that it was a perfect handoff, a concerted effort, and Mike Ashley will take the case from there. It was a bit of a clarification that the this case is taken on by there's one case taken on by Mike Ashley himself as the owner, and then the other case taken up by the club in terms of the competition. So those those two cases are separate, but can continue, and they're not one case does not affect the sort of the competition case does not affect the sort of feeling on how the arbitration will work out. Those can both be pushed forward, and whether or not he gets compensation rather than the takeover, that's not an effect of one or the other. But yeah, I mean, I didn't pay too much mind to the HMRC case. I sort of figured they didn't have anything there if it had been dragged on this long. But fair play to Keith Patterson and to Liam for working with him and getting the story out when it could be told. Well done effort by all those guys.
Yeah, great stuff. Holly, what was your feelings when you heard all of that over the last 48 hours?
It was all very sudden, wasn't it? I mean, it seems to be all or nothing when it comes to the Newcastle takeover. Like, you either hear nothing for months and then everything comes out in a few days. So it's a bit crazy. But the HMRC case being dropped, I think, is a big positive, because that's just another thing that the club had to deal with that was hanging over them constantly. Now that that's out of the way, they can focus more on the arbitration. And then, of course, Keith Patterson and the NCSL, they deserve a massive shout-out because it's brilliant the work that they've done over the past year. Same goes for Liam Kennedy, and they've been so professional throughout it all in the way that they've handled the stories and put them out at the right time and not leaked information early and stuff. So that's brilliant to see. And, of course, for the first time in 14 years, we've seen Mike Ashley and his kind of legal team working alongside a supporter in Keith Patterson, which is really, really refreshing to see. Like, I think that can only be a positive thing. And the second legal case that Mike Ashley's now fired against Premier League, good on him, I say. Like, honestly, I hope Mike Ashley absolutely takes him to the cleaners. Like, I hope he wins every case. And if he gets a lot of compensation from that, then fair enough. Like, I hope that he does, because the Premier League don't deserve any of that money that they have. They're a disgrace. I think we all know that by now. And just hopefully it all goes in our way. It seems to be all positivity. After the statement that Mike Ashley released as well, I thought that was very interesting. You could argue it was a little bit hypocritical, but it certainly showed a lot of confidence from Mike Ashley, I think, and it made me feel a lot more confident, because it has been hard to think, oh, yeah, it's definitely going to go through, because it drags on longer and longer. It's been over a year now, and you just think, is this going to happen? But certainly over the past few days, I think I've got a lot more confidence now, when I'm hoping something happens in the summer so that we have a chance to sort ourselves out in the window, get new players in and sort out the manager situation.
Great stuff. Al-Waleed, how's it feeling in Saudi now? Any more positive, or is it has this news really not caused a stir out there? Is it just a case of waiting patiently like Saudi tend to do and, getting what they want eventually?
Actually, this time is different. It was a huge, it was a huge impact on what happened. Everybody, I was expecting something, of course. I was just thinking, what is Keith and Liam's Kennedy story? I tried to get a hint. I tried to DM Keith. Try to get but I couldn't. So usually I get used that I'm always analyzes things. So I notice always every Friday, or if we have big news, it's usually on a Friday. So I have some things for preparation for our Eid and holidays. So I went only for 4 hours on Thursday. So I came back, I noticed all this news and the story really breaking. It wasn't as usual on Friday, usually at Friday. So I tried to ask everyone, I tried to translate, I was lost. I don't know what to do. I need to translate here, I need to talk here. Some podcast, famous podcast in Saudi Arabia with Mr. Nawaf Al-Aqil, he asked me to join... to host me on something new on Twitter called Spaces. I'm not really into it, but there is a huge audience, and they tell me, because in Ramadan now we are staying late until 9 a.m. or 8 a.m. most of the people. So it was 5 a.m. It was like big conference in the Twitter. It's called Spaces. I think you are aware all Spaces. It's for me, it's new. And I was shocked. It was like maybe more than maybe 500 or 600 listening. And they were asking me about Newcastle recent update. And everybody doesn't, everybody when hear something about Newcastle, they are not sure who to believe or who to trust. So I spent maybe 2 hours, less than 2 hours, talking and sum up everything regarding this takeover. And I hear there were everybody interesting in Newcastle, in Saudi Arabia, interesting in Newcastle. I believe he was there. So it was. I noticed most of the audience, some they didn't understand everything because they didn't know where to listen. So I told them, if you want the truth, always go to about Newcastle, go to Liam Kennedy and Chronicle Live, and if you know want to know everything, updated and related, watch New FC Matters with Steve Wraith and the fans around the world, and also my show about Newcastle.
Yes, make sure you follow Al Waleed's show. It's been a pleasure watching it and been a pleasure being on it twice. I'm just glad all my predictions, well, not all my predictions were wrong, but I'm glad our predictions were wrong, Al Waleed, because it means that we can probably relax for these last three games now. Fingers crossed. Andre, yes, big movement. And I know you were talking about this in, on television across in Bulgaria yesterday.
Yeah, I mentioned actually that before the club took it, actually started from Keith and his efforts, and this was not something known here to the broader public in Bulgaria, and I just gave the background from what I know. Look, I'm not an expert in this field, yeah, and I don't pretend to be expert in law, and I try really to keep cool-headed about the takeover, because 1 year ago, as all of us, I was super excited, you know, I was waiting for it to happen. And now it's not like I'm waiting for a takeover. Yeah, I believe that all the noises that things are happening in the background. But huge credit to Keith and people like him who are ready to spend their time and especially their money, because it's one thing, you know, just to sit on Twitter or on Facebook and to write stuff. It's another thing really to take the effort to do something, to spend money, to really make some actions. Yeah. And it's a huge respect to him for this one. And I'm happy that he found some support from the club, and the club are hopefully taking it to the next level. But whether something happens or not, let's see. I'm waiting for the arbitration, because I believe this is the important thing in the takeover. And again, I'm not an expert on this one, but let's see what the arbitration has to say. Because if the arbitration comes and they say no, it's not a PIF, but it's a Saudi state behind the deal, maybe the deal will be off, yeah, and nothing can happen. I'm just waiting, keeping cool-headed, but huge respect to Keith for all the effort, yeah. And the HMRC thing, again, I remember it 4 years ago. It was, I never knew to this day why they did the inquiry and why they pressed the charges. But it's great for the image of the club that it's dropped now and they come clean out of it. I see this also as maybe a small to, you know, medium step in the right direction. I mean, some voices last year were saying, but with the deal, the HMRC charges are still on. What is happening, how are the new owners going to deal with it. At least this is now off the table. And to me, of course, the funniest thing and the big story out of it was Mike Ashley's statement after the drop of the HMRC, and his statement that it's time for the dark forces who prevent this club from fulfilling its potential to step aside. This coming from the mouth of Mike Ashley was really something, yeah? Because no matter what he's doing in the past year, let's not forget that he is the major barrier or obstacle for this club to fulfill its potential, because he never wanted to do anything. He never wanted to achieve anything with the club. He didn't have any sports ambition. He had the ambition. He wanted a successful business model, which probably he achieved, but he never wanted to compete. He never put the effort in it.
Yeah, you're right, mate. You're right. But yeah, it's good. It's good to hear from your perspective and Al Waleed's perspective. You know that, you know, there's a lot of interest in this, but also a lot of knowledge now. But yeah, all good, Martin. What was your views on everything that's happened over the last couple of days, and how significant do you think it is for the takeover? I did see the Football Insider article, which was, it's always quite small and brief, but again, just another another angle where they're suggesting that the HMRC case collapsing and now not being a problem could see other bidders come forward and that other bidders were unlikely to come forward because of that. I mean, is this more clickbait, do you think, or do you think that's something which we might see, you know, over the course of time?
I think we said some time ago there probably is other bidders there, but I think we all know that Ashley only wants this deal. That's where the focus is. I think with the whole takeover piece, I think, you know, some time ago when Keith was kind of first in the background before we obviously knew it was Keith and, you know, things were happening, you know, Liam, you know, people were talking about a two-pronged attack from Ashley and that the dots would join and, you know, everybody started talking about it. But I think this was something that was always going on in the background. And, you know, I think Keith's a very, very clever fella, right? Let's not be daft about it. He's a very clever businessman, as is Mike Ashley. For all his faults, you know, letting the stadium rot and the training ground and the, you know, what he's done with the club itself, he's an astute businessman who, you know, drives a hard bargain. And I'm sure the likes of, you know, Nick DeMarco and Blackstone Chambers and crowds like that, you don't come into the back of this stuff, you know, without a percentage win margin there somewhere in amongst it. You know, Nick DeMarco's not going to take on a dead horse, I don't think. So I think there's been this two-pronged attack up to a point of kind of Keith doing his stuff. And you know what? Fair play to the man. I've watched him most evenings on the Amigos when he's been on. And, you know, he's held himself high. Okay, you know, he's responded to a few on Twitter. But you know what? I'm actually okay with that. Like, if you want to have a dig at me, like, you know, I'll be prepared. I'm going to fire back. So why shouldn't he? You know, he was representing himself. He put the money up, and I think he's got every right to speak out and speak his piece when he wants to. You know, I've seen people yesterday, even though, you know, Keith was saying, I've handed over this to, you know, Mike Ashley. You know, I've seen people putting stuff up there about, well, you know, at least Mike Ashley's got standing, you were going to do nothing. You know, and I just think there's not a lot of credit given to Keith. So I'll give the guy credit because I think he's done an immense job. And you know, I'm certainly on the shows. I'm quite proud to have spoken to the guy and been able to talk to him on different formats. So I think it's good that things I think are still moving on in the background. I think the interesting thing that maybe some people didn't pick up on was the fact that the second case is Mike Ashley as the owner and not in the name of the club. Is that the two cases running concurrently alongside each other cannot both be the club under the club's name, under the Premier League laws. So I think there's absolute cleverness going on in the way that this is being masterminded and managed. Long term, do I think it'll happen? I still do, because I on two fronts. One, I think we've, you know, I've remained confident. I think apart from one Sunday where I had a little wobble and Steve, you texted me and said, keep the faith, mate. So from that point, I've never really gone back on it. I haven't been as vocal on Twitter about the takeover and anything else, because I think obviously when my mum wasn't well the back end of last year, I learned something that has probably held me well for the last few months, which is there's no point stressing over what you don't control. So I'm letting it ride its course. I'm hoping that I get to see that happen. I'd love to see us win something in my lifetime. And, you know, God willing, that does all happen. So, yeah, I'm still fairly positive. I think the interesting thing with the second case is it forces full disclosure. So there's a little piece of me wonders from a point of the anti-competition piece. I wonder how much of that opens up will actually not mean that we actually have to get to the end of an arbitration case, because I think the anti-competition case is probably more damaging to the Premier League and others, because it's a case, as Keith said, everything has to come out. Emails, WhatsApps, all this other stuff has to come out. So, you know, there is no hiding. So I think a lot of what may come out of the anti-competition case will probably do more to close out the arbitration case, possibly earlier, if there's a lot that comes out the woodwork. And I think, you know, certainly listening to Keith, I think there's a lot in the background that the likes of Masters and Hoffman and a few others will be scurrying to hide. So, yeah, let it run its course, but I'm still confident.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think this is the game plan, isn't it? Not just one, not two, but three or four, but probably five or six tanks all on the loan. And like I said 12 months ago, this is what Ashley will do. It's clear that Ashley wants this takeover, like you said, Martin. And if there's a way of doing it, then, you know, he's being given that added backup by Keith Patterson, who, like you said, put his head above the parapet, did his homework, because that's his area of expertise, that's his field of expertise. And the fact that he actually put his money where his mouth was and then took a chance and contacted Newcastle United's direct and ended up in conversation with the right people, it just shows you, it's worked in our favour. And Mike Ashley stands to make a hell of a lot of money out of this. This is a huge opportunity for him. He gets his money back. He gets his, the interest-free loan back. He gets the money that he paid out for the club. He gets a tidy little profit. And on top of that, he probably gets a big intro into the market in Saudi. And again, absolutely, this guy is a trader. This guy is a businessman. And his brands, his companies will no doubt open up, new gateways, to the Arab market. And look, good luck to him. Mike Ashley's a businessman. He's been an absolute nightmare as a football club owner for us. But like I said, and I've said this prior to even doing this show, when I've done interviews about Mike Ashley in the past, Mike Ashley can only be judged when Mike Ashley leaves and the legacy that he leaves. And ultimately, there's been some absolute horror shows from him, renaming the stadium, causing complete upset amongst supporters. And from my perspective, we've protested against him, and it's done absolutely no good. If he leaves and sells to the Saudis, which makes us the richest team, not just in the Premier League but in the world, that could really be Mike Ashley's legacy.
Yeah,
exactly. I hate to say it, that could be. We could all end up saying thanks to Mike Ashley, and that's something none of us ever expected.
I don't think he's going to give it up, Steve. Like I say, he's not stupid. And I think if you look at some of the meetings he's had in Dubai with the warehouse crowds and everything else, I think a lot of the stuff, even a lot of the people chasing the flights, Jackie Jader and a few of the others that watch the flights back and forth, the meetings with the Rubens, the meetings in Miami, Dubai, other places, none of these are coincidental that, the likes of the Rubens and Ashley and other people being in the same country at the same time. I think, I don't really buy that. I think the other interesting thing for the Premier League is, let's not forget, they've also got Man City parked on the lawn as well with a gun and a tank, because Man City are also taking them to court as well. So they've actually got two or three legal cases now ongoing. So, interesting time if you're a certain chairman.
Oh, certainly interesting times. Wow, Derby 1, Sheffield Wednesday 1. Not often that I'd be watching an EFL game, but this one's going to be one to watch. It's a shootout at the bottom of that league, and Derby's just equalised. So be interesting to see whether Wayne Rooney can pull off the great escape. Pete, your take on the last 48 hours as far as off the pitch stuff is concerned?
I'm not going to talk too much about it, just because I'm not in the know. I'm not sort of like legally that way inclined. I read about stuff online and I see what's going on. Yeah. I think the word that you use, game plan, I think is the right word. You look at what's happened ever since the consortium sort of pulled away from the deal way back when. I think this has been the game plan, and I believe that this is the game plan coming to fruition. The timelines may not be the timeline that they wanted, but I honestly believe that this is it all coming out now. And as Keith said on Friday, we're at the stage now where the consortium are in charge for the first time. I think in this whole situation over the last year, it's now they are sort of the ones that are leading the way. And I believe that it's getting to the point now where the Premier League are going to have to make a decision. And I think once the season's done, I think that decision will be made. The one thing I'll say is that, look, the Premier League has never been looked at in the best of lights, but Masters and Hoffman coming in, I tell you what, they have dragged the Premier League through the mud. And the Premier League's name is at its absolute worst right now. And they have played a massive part in them being in this situation that they are now. So they've got no one to blame but themselves. I would be absolutely shocked that when I believe this takeover goes through, that those two are still in the job. I think that's they're the first two that need to be out the door. Because the way they've controlled and manipulated the situation is an absolute joke. And in the second case, with Mike Ashley, I think it's all going to come out. And I think he'll make it come out. And I think he'll make it come out because he'll want people to know what the truth is. We don't know everything right now. Okay, where, you know, even one or two of you like yourself, Steve, you said it the other night, you don't know everything. Nobody knows everything. But I tell you what, when we do know everything and it all comes out, it's going to make the Premier League look like an absolute joke. And those guys, Masters and Hoffman, are going to be in a position where they're going to struggle to get a job anywhere else because they're not going to be able to be trusted wherever they go in sport or beyond. Because there is a massive corruption in football. You know, the Super League, brought it all to light. And that's been the best and biggest thing about all of this recently, is that coming to light, it's made people realise that actually all the talk about, all the talk from Keith, Liam, yourself, Steve, all over the months that have gone before, they're now starting to think, actually, these guys had a point. And I think Jeff Stelling started to talk about that the other day as well. It's all starting to come to fruition now, and it's all starting to come in our favour. And that's why I talked about earlier. It needs to be done. It needs to be done. Our future needs to be sorted as a football club, and I believe it will this summer.
Yeah, and it's sad to say that, unfortunately, some fans, groups and organisations are going to look a tad embarrassed as well when this
comes journalists. Out.
Journalists as well, yeah. Good point, Pete, because... You know, there's been certain journalists, as we know, have been completely against this takeover from day one and have let their personal feelings get in the way of, you know, the professionalism. You know, maybe it's not necessarily in articles and papers, but certainly online, certainly on Twitter. And, you know, that kind of thing, I'm sure, will not be forgotten amongst our supporters. You know, people in our support base still remember Sob on the Tyne from Aston Villa fans. So when people are having a dig on Twitter, that's the kind of thing which can be regurgitated time and time again. I think some people will be looking for maybe a new club to cover at some point after this.
You know what, Steve? Someone on the panel might not say it, but I will. And the guy I'm referring to is Luke Edwards. And I'll be honest and open and say it. I've watched that guy over the last year manipulate, wind up and frustrate fans on purpose. And for him to even behave like that, you know, he's not a Newcastle fan. He doesn't have the same feelings as we do. He's not affected when we lose, win or draw in the same way that we are. So every time there's something positive come out or there's a little bit of new information and he comes out and squashes it and then winds up fans on the back of it, I just think it's an absolute joke. And I tell you what, when this takeover goes through, right, he needs to go and report on another club. Because I tell you what, his reputation and his standing as a Northeast journalist is absolutely in the mud. Right. And nobody will take him seriously and nobody will give a crap about anything that he writes. I don't now. I have no interest. I haven't listened or read to any of his articles because it's not genuine. It's not genuine. Yeah. All for clicks. It's all to wind up Newcastle fans. That's his angle right now. I don't care if he lives in Newcastle or whatever, or he feels like he's been reported on the club for so many years. I couldn't care less. He is not a fan. You know, you've got someone like Liam Kennedy. He's a fan. He feels it the way we do. You can tell the way he talks every Tuesday, Steve, with you. He's passionate. He knows how it feels to be, you know, to be part of this club. Luke Edwards doesn't. And I just think it's an absolute joke the way he treats Newcastle fans. And for that, he doesn't deserve to report on this club. He doesn't deserve to. And the first thing he needs to be done, he needs to be told to go and report on somewhere else, because I certainly won't be listening to anything he's got to say.
No, Yeah, yeah, well said. And I do genuinely feel as well, you know, that, you know, Ben Jacobs could have gone down the same route as Luke Edwards, but he's you know, he's somebody who, he plays a very good game, Ben, and I've interviewed him a couple of times on the show. I like him, very affable guy, Leicester fan, but tries to give a report on the situation. But I think he's gone from being completely this side of the takeover to sitting on the fence, and he's, you know, he talks a good game, speaks well of it, and a very intelligent guy, but he doesn't wind the fans up like Luke does, and that's the difference. He interacts with the fans. We saw it last night, you know, when you know, I put that photograph out of him that he put on his Twitter account, which I thought was brilliant. You know, there you go. You know, that he as a child, he had the Entertainer strip on, and I thought that was brilliant to actually, you know, that kind of interaction's good. But yeah, you're right, it's not on what we've seen, and very, 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 very disappointing. Yeah, I mean, just quickly go around the panel before we finish. Would you agree with what Pete said, Chris?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, all this Henry Maurice exclusives, you know, where's Henry? It was just a total smokescreen and just a sort of a straw man argument, a bogeyman to say, oh, well, don't worry, you know, Henry Maurice is coming to rescue you guys. All just total BS from Luke.
Yeah, sad but true. Holly, what's your take on the whole journalistic side of things?
Yeah, I think Pete's spot on in terms of Luke Edwards. He's really, really shocking as a Northeast journalist. He just constantly winds up the fans. He acts like he's one of us, but he's really not. I don't get what his agenda is. It's a bit bizarre. But thankfully, we do have some really good journalists, the likes of Liam Kennedy, and I rate Craig Hope as well.
Yeah, Craig's a good lad, really good. He's still currently banned from the stadium, of course. Al Waleed is an outside fan living in Saudi. I'm not sure what your journalists are like with football. Football. Do you have a Luke Edwards? Do you have a Saudi equivalent?
Someone like him, you mean?
Yeah.
Usually here, it's usually every club have their own journalists, but you will find a good journalist. But someone like Edwards, I didn't think so. Actually, since Henry Morris' story, I didn't open any of his tweet. I know it's bullshit. Sorry.
Wow! That's amazing.
I'm sorry, man. I'll
really, that's going to become a meme. If I can get John to do a meme, that's going to be a meme. That's brilliant.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a new t-shirt.
Yeah, John, that is a t-shirt. Andre, what's your views? You're on Twitter, mate, so you see what Luke tends to put out. But I mean, he's not the only journalist. Everyone will remember my spat with Miguel Delaney right at the beginning of all of this 12 months ago.
Well, look, I follow him and I follow various journalists from the Northeast. Actually, I tried to remember who's the first one I knew. The first one, thanks to Joe Kinnear, was Simon Burt back in 2008. But, you know, I try to take everything with a pinch of salt. I have my preferred, you know, journalists or sources of information. I've shared before that I really respect the NUFC.com website, which, by the way, the club tried to popularize these days big time when they got the name of their official website wrong. Probably you saw this one, the message on the official club store. I respect a lot also George Kokin. I know that he's not everyone's cup of tea. Like he tends to be somehow, you know, a bit arrogant at times, but I find him very knowledgeable. Sometimes, you know, all these guys, I also try to understand that they compete between themselves, like they're all journalists, so they compete. They have to get the information first. They have to pretend that they're the most knowledgeable, the most in the know, that they have the most inside information. But I really think that you have to find the right balance. You have to be a bit, you know, report the facts, report your opinion, ask the hard questions. I really respect the people who ask Steve Bruce the hard questions at press conferences. I really like the guys who are direct and really speak up for the broad audience in Newcastle, and they express like the public opinion. So I don't want to judge people based on what they put on Twitter, because as we've talked many times, Twitter is not the real world. But I have my own preferences, you know, for journalists. And for me, as I said, NUFC.com has always been, you know, very non-biased, very neutral, very to the point. They are very much into facts. I like this style.
Yeah, I would agree. Good assessment on all of them, Martin. Last but by no means least, your views on the local journalist scene and the national journalist scene, and those who interact with the fans on Twitter.
Yeah, I think, look, I think we saw very early on the true colours from Luke, so I blocked him very, very early on in the process. I don't really, you know, other than Liam, and probably as Andre said, the likes of George Culkin and Chris Woff and you know, Craig Hope, I don't really pay too much attention to it. I think a lot of the stuff is, you know, clickbait. I like, you know, I do use The Athletic. It's just my house falling apart, my dog having a breakdown. Don't mind that.
It's on the Guinness.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's probably looking, yeah, it's pretty intravenously. but yeah, I don't pay too much attention to them. I think, you know, take away the fact that the lights are from Liam, that, you know, he is a black and white fan. For me, he's everything that a journalist should be, you know, the way to conduct themselves, you know, the articles they write, you know, the performance of, you know, when they're on screen and, you know, on Twitter and how they manage themselves, I think speaks volumes to me. So I think, you know, will the likes of Liam or Craig Hope get every story right? No, they won't. But I think in particular over the last while, you know, when obviously Liam was sat on top of a very hefty story, you know, to sit on that and maintain that professionalism. Carnage. Yeah, that's why I drink. Anybody that asks, Guinness cures all. It's barking at a cat. But, yeah, no, fair play to Liam on a closing note. I think, you know, he's certainly up there at the top of the pile at the moment, and long may it last.
Yeah, here. Great show that I was flown over, and great to see the worldwide squad back together. I'm sure we'll get you back together over the next couple of weeks as well. We'll be doing season reviews and all of that kind of stuff. I am back tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Me and Pete are definite. I think Holly's joining us tomorrow as well. 5 o'clock, Holly, were you still okay for that, for the 5-minute rant?
Yeah, that works for me.
Good stuff. Hopefully Chris will be there. Get well, Chris Hall. He's not very well. He's got a bad cold and he is suffering, the kid. So hopefully he's back to full form in the next few days. Get well soon, Chris. But if he's well enough, he will be joining us as well. So 5 o'clock means you can join us tomorrow night as well. It's your chance to get your views across. We've already had a few people saying they want to come on. So that should be good. But if you've got a point to make, join us at 5 o'clock tomorrow. The link will be going in the description box. And I suppose I better just leave the final word of today's show to our lead. Thanks, everybody. Take care. Have a good afternoon and enjoy the football, whatever you choose to watch this afternoon. Take care.
Cheers,
bye.
Critics attack.